Hi, friends. Welcome back to Live at the Roxy. Pesach Sameach to all of my Jewish babes out there. Happy Passover. For those of you guys who have been asking me, and a lot of you guys in here in the comments during the show, and also tweeting at me and DMing me on Instagram saying that you wanted to know more about Passover, I was like, all right, I feel like it is my duty and my pleasure to be able to teach you guys a little bit more about Passover. So I'm excited to say today is a full-blown Passover episode. If you guys have questions, comments, concerns, streamlabs.com/RoxyStrier, or super chat them in. Or if you have experiences and you are Jewish or you're not Jewish, but you've been to a Seder before and you want to share that, then make sure that you let me know. Put it in the chat, the Streamlabs, the super chat, all that great stuff. I want to hear from you guys. But this is just kind of like a Passover 101, and hopefully it'll be a little bit fun because Passover is by far and away the most intricate of our holidays. It is like a whole shebang. Passover is not a, it's not the same as Hanukkah, where I could say like, all right, the main parts of Hanukkah are there's you're lighting the menorah, you play dreidel. There's like a few different things. Passover is intense. Passover's got, it's a whole thing and there's a whole story behind it. So I kind of just wanted to talk a little bit about Passover, and then every family celebrates slightly differently. And of course, this is just my experience. Also keeping in mind that I am a Reform Jew, which means that I'm not conservative. And that means that people who are more conservative than me would celebrate differently, and everybody celebrates all different as well. So for a lot of you guys who I see, Lauren even just put it in the chat, I learned about Passover from Rugrats. A lot of people learned about all different holidays, Hanukkah from Rugrats. Rugrats did a great job, but there's not that many Passover resources out there unless you want to pick up books and, you know, all that stuff. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about Passover, and to my fellow Jews, hopefully you guys can relate to some of these things and talk a little bit about your experiences. And to my non-Jews, my guess is that you don't know, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, you don't know jack shit about Passover, because why would you? Why would you know anything about Passover? It's right around the time of Easter, so you guys are doing your own thing if you are a Christian, and a lot of my non-Jewish friends just don't know anything about Passover. So I'm here to edumacate, and hopefully we can enjoy ourselves while we do it. By a show of hearts to bunnies, who in here feels confident that they know what Passover is, and they know how Passover is celebrated, and they know why Passover exists? Send hearts. And who here is like, I don't know, I've heard of Passover, but I have no idea what it is? Send bunnies. Hearts if you already know, bunnies if you do not. No judgment. Just want to see, of the people who are watching live right now, where we're at. Are we a split crew? Do most of us know more about Passover? Do a lot of us not know anything about Passover? All people are welcome here during this time. Also, there will be a fun phone call to Grammy herself, because we do a specific something on the Seder plate that a lot of other people do not do, that I wanted her to explain to you guys because it's pretty freaking awesome. Okay, so we're pretty split. We've got some hearts, some bunnies. Seems like we more bunnies, more people who don't know, but a lot of hearts going on in here too. And that's awesome. And hopefully if I talk to you guys about Passover, then you guys can talk to your friends about Passover too, anybody who's curious, and that can just kind of help spread the word. We were going to give Passover a whirl for Whirl Girls, but because it is so intricate, there's so many moving parts, to actually put together a Passover Seder when you're not together with other people and have a Seder plate and all of that would have cost quite a bit of money and also been incredibly time consuming, and we wouldn't have been in the same place. So hopefully next year we will do a whole Passover Seder so you guys can see what I'm talking about. But for this year, I'm just going to talk about the actual holiday. All right, before we get into that, I'm going to see if there's any questions, comments, concerns, things going on in the Streamlabs. So professional to keep her phone on loud. Yeah. Streamlabs.com/RoxyStrier, like I said. Thank you to everybody who is joining us here today on the 28th of March. Passover started last night. So we are officially on the second day of Passover for the 2021 year. A couple things that came through yesterday when we didn't have a live show. John Get Bent said, not sure if you're going to be live today, but wanted to pop in and say Chag Sameach or Chag Pesach Sameach, which I can explain what that means in a second. Is that right? Have a great weekend. So Chag Pesach Sameach is totally right. Chag Sameach is totally right. Pesach Sameach is totally right, because what Pesach means is Passover. Sameach means happy. So the Pesach Sameach would mean happy Passover, but it really means Passover happy, but that's the way that it's said in Hebrew. Chag is festival, which translates to holiday. So when somebody says Chag Sameach, it would be happy holidays or festival happy, but really happy holiday. So Chag Pesach Sameach means happy Passover holiday kind of thing, which is perfectly great. I usually, if I'm just seeing another Jew or on the phone with my Jewish family during the holidays, I'll just say Pesach Sameach, which means happy Passover. But all of those work. That's your first lesson in greeting people during the holidays or specifically for Passover. And what I will remind everybody is that we love being reached out to during the holidays. I got two text messages yesterday from my friends, from Ryan Nelson and from Steph Sabra, who both texted me some iteration of that. And it's always nice when you go above and beyond to write like Pesach Sameach, which, you know, instead of just saying happy Passover, but happy Passover works great too. It's all very sweet. And so just so you guys know, that's what that translates to. And for spelling purposes, so I'll put it in here. Chag is, but just for anybody who is listening, C-H-A-G. Pesach is P-E-S-A-C-H. Sameach, which you guys know I suck at spelling anyway, so it's not that spelling really totally matters on these, but is S-A-M-E-C-H. Chag Pesach Sameach. S-A-M-E-C-H. I think I just said that right, but spelled it S-A-M-E-C-H. Yeah. So Chag Pesach Sameach. I might have written that wrong. Something along those lines. Here she is, so edumacated, ready to talk more about that. Anyway, so Pesach Sameach is fine. Yeah, that's Sameach. That's not how you spell Sameach. I don't think that looks right. Sameach. Yeah, put another A in there. S-A-M-E-A-C-H. Yeah, that seems right. Yeah, I think that that's better. Somebody Google it. I think that I've got it now, though. So Pesach Sameach to all of my Jews and non-Jews alike. Thank you guys for being here. Continuing with the Streamlabs, streamlabs.com/RoxyStryer. Anonymous says, what do you do when you feel your own kindness towards somebody being replaced by bitterness and then hatred? Wow, intense question, but appreciate you asking. That's why I have Better Not Bitter on my shoulder. That is not an emotion I feel very often, so it's hard to give advice here, but it definitely is a universal emotion, and it makes sense that you would feel that. I think that when you're kind to somebody, but that turns to bitterness and hatred, you got to ask yourself why, what is going on there? I don't have enough information to know why your kindness turned to bitterness. Is it because it's not being reciprocated? Is it because you have feelings for this person that are unresolved? Or things from the past? I think you got to get to the root of why in order to figure out the next steps. Let us know if you have further questions on that and can give us any more details. Weston Ira with that big support in here, streamlabs.com, Stroxy Stryer says, hello there. Between the stuff with Sharon Osbourne, Georgia election law mess, and Dominion voting suing Fox News Rudy G, and checks Google Mike Lindell. It's been about 20 years since the last Live at the Roxy show. Feel like Cap at the end of Endgame. I know I was going to talk especially about the Sharon Osbourne stuff today, but instead I wanted to talk about Passover. So Weston Ira, I feel you. That has, with one day off, it feels like, or one day off from this show, not day off, it feels like it has been a lifetime. And we will talk about that at some point down the line, but not today because it is Passover. But even though it's Passover, no Live at the Roxy goes by without Glenn Caesar and all of the things he has to tell us, especially this one, Miles Cosgrove, Brett Hankison, Jonathan Mattingly, arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor, all three of them for killing Breonna Taylor. Hope today is the day, justice for all the people who lost their lives due to excessive force. Say their names. Hello and good afternoon, Roxy, and all of your nicknames. Thanks for hanging out with us as much as you do. Love to Grammy and Popo. Peace, bunnies, hugs, and good stuff to you and yours. Thanks, RJ, RSB, and WF for giving me a place. You are appreciated. Good thoughts and good vibes to you, RJ, on garnering all your much deserved success. Good luck with all the hosting, filming, auditions, and or booking other projects coming up. What's for you is yours. You're earning it all because you fucking rock. Ooh, not fire this time, Chunk. Roxy, RJ, Rock, Skittles, Chunk, GPS, Misdirection, Silver the Elf, Zilla, Queen Badges, Dimples is the best. Roxy, Rocks, RJ, Skittles, Chunk, GPS, Misdirection, Silver. Oh, he just says it again. Is number one. Yeah, yeah. Happy Roxy days. LOL, won't make you say that again. Positive thoughts to you, RJ, and all the rock stars and world friends who show up and give all their support whenever, however they can. Don't forget, when it gets tough, even if you're by yourself, you're not alone. Everyone who's battling, keep on fighting. You're a winner. Remember, Roxy, and everyone who shows up for people, you're kind, you're smart, you're unique, and being so unselfishly loving and supportive of others, including strangers on the internet, means your story is important, deserves to be seen and heard. And if Glenn says it here at the show, we know it has to be true, because that's just the way that it is. He then said, Chag Pesach Sameach, Roxy, and everyone else who's celebrating the holiday. And yeah, a phone call with Grammy is always much welcome surprise. Thanks for always doing this and other special episodes for us. I'm interested to watch and learn. Awesome. So let's get down to business to defeat the Huns. It's not anything to do with Passover. That's just me going. So again, get in your questions, ask me as we go, because this is a lot and you don't have to remember all of this. And the good thing is that Jews don't even have to remember all of this, because we have this really awesome book called a Haggadah, which is not one book. There's all different types of Haggadahs, which is a book that you have during Passover. So when you have a Passover Seder, you sit down around a table and there are these books called Haggadahs, which range in all different forms, from books that are 10 pages long to books that are 30 pages long. And what these Haggadahs do, and everyone at the table usually has one, and now in current day and age, a lot of times you'll have it on a Kindle or something, or on your phone, but we have hard copy books at home. And the book walks you through what is Passover, what is the story of Passover, and how are you going to celebrate Passover via the Seder? So it's not even like Jews just have this shit on lock. We read the Haggadah, and that's just a Haggadah, and we read the Haggadah, and we go through the book, and we figure out, okay, this is this, and this person says this, and this is how this works. So it's that intense of a holiday. There's that many steps that you have an actual book to walk you through it, with pictures, and a lot of the Haggadahs too, especially ours had a ton of pictures and all of that. But what the Haggadah opens up with is you have the youngest person on the table. It's supposed to be the youngest person on the table. Again, every family does it different. And obviously the youngest person who can read, because they read from the book, or the youngest person who has this learned. And they ask these four questions. They say, how is this night different from all other nights? They say, on all other nights, we eat chametz, which is leavened bread, leavened food, which I can explain in a little bit, and matzah. Why on this night only matzah? On all other nights we eat vegetables. Why on this night maror? On all other nights we don't dip even once. Why on this night do we dip twice? On all other nights we eat either sitting upright or reclining. Why on this night do we all recline? So they ask those on all other nights questions. So that's to answer the how is this night different from all other nights. And then the rest of the book kind of goes through all of those things. It tells the story of Passover, which is such. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt because the Pharaoh, and by the way, this is as story goes, right? So I'm going to tell it to you guys as story goes. And there's all different kind of little variations of the story, but for the most part, this is what it is. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt because the Pharaoh was concerned that there was a rising population of Jews and that the Jews would take over. And so he enslaved them all. And so the Israelites were enslaved for, I think it was 400 years or some very long amount of time. And then Moses comes along. Moses, who I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard of him, very popular Jew, very famous popular Jew. He comes along, and there is what is referred to as the burning bush story. So it's kind of a longer story, but essentially Moses is born. He ends up growing up. He goes to the burning bush, and it's literally a bush that's burning. And God speaks through this bush and tells Moses that he has to go to the Pharaoh and get the Israelites freed, get the Jews freed, and that he needs to go and say, let my people go. So Moses does. He goes to the Pharaoh and he says, this came via God. And he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, nah, not doing that. And so then there are the plagues that follow because God's like not having it. The way that I'm explaining this is very hip. God's not having it. God's like, I gave this message to Moses to give to the Pharaoh. Pharaoh's not listening. So I'm going to wreak havoc on the Pharaoh and Egypt because fuck this. So the first thing that he does is he has Moses turn the Nile to blood. So Moses staffs down and the Nile turns to blood and then goes to the Pharaoh. It's like, let my people go. Pharaoh's like, nah. Then God fills the country with frogs. Moses goes to the Pharaoh, is like, yo, all the frogs. Clearly, this is because you're not listening. And Pharaoh says, no. Then there is a plague of gnats. Then came flies. Then came death to a lot of the animals. Every time Moses going, Pharaoh saying, no, no. Boils, which is disgusting. Then hail of like fire and hail. It was a crazy weather one. Then locusts. Then there was darkness. And still Pharaoh's like, no, 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 and won't let the Jews go. And so God says, okay, that was the final straw. Instead, I'm going to kill the firstborn son of every family. The firstborn son of every family is going to die because you're not listening to me and you're enslaving the Jews and I'm not down with that. So you either let these people go or this is what happens. And so he talked to Moses. God came through Moses and said, you need to take the blood of the lamb and you need to put it over your doors so that I know which families to pass on because I don't want to kill the firstborn of the Jewish families. They're the ones who are enslaved. So if you've ever seen Passover images where there's the blood over their door, that was to symbolize Passover, our house, God, don't take our firstborn because we're on the same side. And so they end up doing that and they take the firstborn. God takes the firstborn son of every family that didn't have the blood on their door. And that included the Pharaoh's firstborn son. And so the Pharaoh's firstborn son dies and all the other firstborn son die. And so the Pharaoh says to Moses, go, be gone, take the Jews and leave. And so Moses does, and in a rush, they all go to leave. They didn't even have time for their bread to leaven. So this is why we have matzah flatbread. But so they take all their bread and they don't even time for it to rise and they try to get out. And then Pharaoh changes his mind and was like, nah, I know I just told you guys to leave, but no, I changed my mind. And so Pharaoh sends his people after Moses and the Israelites, and most of the Israelites are running, and they get to, you guys know, the parting of the seas. We get to the sea. The sea is blocking them. They think that they're all going to get stuck and they're going to die. And instead, Moses is able to, via God's help, part the seas, and their Israelites are able to cross the seas, part for them, and they're able to cross through the sea. And then when they're done, the seas all collapse in on each other so that Pharaoh's people cannot pass and cannot come through the seas. And that's here how the Israelites escaped from the Pharaoh and escaped from being enslaved. And that's how the Jews escaped. So as the story goes, obviously there's a lot of elements to that story that if you are not a religious person, probably don't make full sense. You guys know me. I'm a person of science. I have a lot of questions about the parting of these seas. Could this have been high tide, low tide situation? We just don't know. But that is how the story goes. in general. Again, there's some things that are a little bit tweaked, but that is the story of Passover. And so what the Seder does is remembers all of those things and has different foods on the Seder plate. So on the Seder plate, let me actually see if I can show you guys what a Seder plate looks like. On a Seder plate, there are these Seder plates on the table. And that's not the main food that you eat, but there are these Seder plates. And as you're going through the story, you use these Seder plates to show different parts of the story and tell different parts of the story of Passover. So this is what a Seder plate looks like. And you can see, you look at that and think, what is going on? This would be an example of a Seder plate. Seder plates come in all different shapes and sizes, but usually they're round and they have all these holes in the side like this, or indents in the side for you to put the specific things that you need in order to celebrate Passover. So I'm going to go over what those things are. But again, you don't have to know any of this because it's in the Haggadah, but it's just kind of interesting to know what all of the things on the plate are in case you guys we're wondering, how are we doing so far, kids? Is everybody understanding the basic story of Passover? Are people picking up what I'm putting down? Let me know if you guys have questions, comments, concerns. Streamlabs.com/RoxyStrier. Super chat. Let me know what you guys are thinking. Going into the Streamlabs, Rob Fishbeck says, please forgive my total ignorance. So in the Christian faith with Easter, there is an Easter bunny and gifts, candy, etc. Is there anything like that with Passover for children? I'm going to talk all about the children element of Passover in a second. But no, there is not. It's not the exact equivalent, but there are some things for kids to be doing during the holiday. So thank you for asking that, Rob. And no ignorance. That's why I'm doing that, because people who aren't Jewish, why would they know anything about Passover? Mark Jason Ali in the house with that big support. Thank you. He says, hi, Roxy. Hug Pesach Sameah. I hope you're doing well. Been wearing my TWG hoodie all day. Oh, my God. Did you take a picture? Did you take a picture and send it to us? Did yours arrive? We haven't seen it yet. I haven't gotten it yet. Did you see my tweets? No, did you send us tweets? Oh my God, I have to see. Are you nervous about 21 questions on the World Girls tonight? Yeah, so we're doing 21 questions with Roxy Stryer on the World Girls tonight. Yeah, I'm nervous. Hope all is good with Grammy and Papo. Smash Cancer. Prince of Egypt has a good telling. Thank you for all of this, Mark Jason Ali. I appreciate your recommendation. I believe Mark Jason Ali, I think you're Jewish as well. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you are Jewish. So that if you are, let me know. Or if I'm misremembering, then no worries on that. I definitely put the ish in Jew. Mark says there are a lot of plagues. Locust was one of them. Yeah, I talked about the locust a little bit, didn't I? I think I ran through a bunch of them. There was 10, right? 8 or 10. I think it was 10. It was the blood, the frogs, the gnats, the flies, the death, the animals, the boils, the hail, the locusts, the darkness, and the firstborn son. Yeah, I think that was 10. Mark says, I'm half Jewish. Oh, awesome. That's great. Thanks for being here, friend. Okay, continuing on to talk a little bit about the other things that are going on. So let's talk about what's on the table. So there's Seder plate. And sometimes there's one, or if you've got a long table, like for me, Passover growing up, we had 30 people over for every Passover. So we would have a couple different Seder plates at different points of the table. And on the Seder plate is a roasted shank bone, which represents the Pesach sacrifice, an egg, which represents spring and the circle of life. So in a way, that's a little similar to Easter, the circle of life and all that. Bitter herbs, which that represents the bitterness of slavery. Haroset, which is something that you make that I actually think is effing delicious. People describe it as like an applesauce-like mixture, but I don't think it's like that. It's got wine, nuts, and apples. Everything's like chopped up. It's just sweet and so effing yummy. It's ridiculous, which is used to represent the mortar used by the Jews in Egypt, mortar, and carpus, which is often parsley. But you could also do like greens, which represents spring, so similar to the egg. And those are in general what's on the Seder plate. In my household, we add something different on the Seder plate. We add an additional thing on the Seder plate, which a lot of New Age Jews, if that's what we want to call them, will put on their Seder plate. And that is an orange, which you will not see on traditional Seder plates, but you will see on ours. And I'm going to call Grammy right now and have her explain to you guys why in our house we put an orange on the Seder plate. Hopefully she picks up. I gave her a heads up. I said, I'm going to call you to ask about the orange. She said, I explained this yesterday at Passover. I said, I know. You just explain it well. I want to hear from you.
Hi.
Hi, Grammy.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
What do you mean? I just called you.
Anyway.
Wait, okay, so Graham, you are live at the Roxy right now, and we wanted to know why in our house do we put an orange on the Seder plate?
Okay. I love the story, and it's true. It's been, it was factual in a synagogue in Florida. I don't know whether you're the people that watch you know that in a temple, in a synagogue, there's the bima. That's the stage where the rabbi stands and talks to you, or the little boy being bar mitzvahed stands and recites his portion of the Haftorah. That's where the president of the synagogue will sit, like a stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they realized that if the president of the synagogue could male of the men's club, if they could sit on the bima, then so could women. Wait, hold on. It's Mark Hyten from Canada.
Okay, can you call him back in a minute, or do you need to?
I'll call you back, Mark.
Okay. Well, she picked up the call.
Okay.
Okay. So they realized that if men could sit on the bima, then women could sit.
The women's organization, the women's club of the synagogue, said, "Why can't we sit on the bima too?" And with that, the rabbi got up and said to the congregation, "Women have as much right to sit on the bima as an orange on a Seder plate." With that, women after that sat on the bima, and there's an orange on our Seder plate because women have the same rights that men do.
Thanks, Grammy. I appreciate you telling us the story. And I appreciate you deciding to call Mark back and knowing that the rock stars are more important than Mark in this moment.
Anyway, happy Passover to you.
Happy Passover to you too, Grammy. I love you.
I love you too, baby.
Talk Bye. Soon. So that is why we put an orange on the Seder plate, because there was a time in which women could not be on the bima. The rabbi said women have a place on the bima as much, and F that rabbi, but women have a place on the bima as much as oranges could be on the Seder plate. So every year we put our orange on the Seder plate, and it's just to signify that even though all of this is very traditional and old school, times are changing, times do change, and we're a family who obviously believes that women can be on the bima and oranges can be on the Seder plate, and that is the way that we do it. So the orange goes on the Seder plate, and that is the reason why. But again, that if you go to most households, that would not be something that take place, but there are some Jews who do that. I hope she calls Mark back and everything goes well. So on top of the Seder plate, not on top of it, but in addition to the Seder plate, there are other things that are on the table for Passover. A couple of those things you guys probably know about, a couple of those things you don't know about. There's matzah. Traditionally, you're supposed to have 3 pieces of matzah, but we have a ton of matzah on the table, which if you guys don't know what matzah is, it's like bread. It's like a cracker. It's like a big cracker, but it's really unleavened bread. And that represents the bread that the Israelites took with them when they fled Egypt, and that they didn't have time for the bread to rise. And so during the 8 days of Passover, Jews don't eat leavened bread. Now, there is a difference between the Ashkenazi and the Sephardic Jews during this time. I don't know why, but Ashkenazi Jews, which is what my background is, the Ashkenazi Jews do not eat, they don't eat leavened bread, but they also during this time don't eat rice and a lot of other things like that. And Sephardic Jews just don't eat leavened bread. I don't know where that comes from. I could probably do some more research on that, but different people have different things that they're, if you're keeping Passover, it means that you're not eating leavened bread during this time, essentially. And it started last night and then lasts, Jewish holidays start at sundown, as I've told you guys. So it would last for 8 sundowns after that. So that is how long Passover is. And the Passover changes every year, the date, because as I've explained to you guys about the Jewish calendar before, it is not, it's not the same calendar as ours. So it's not on the same date every year, but it's usually around this time of year, sometimes in April, end of March, April. That's when Passover usually is. Also on the table, there will be a couple of glasses of wine. There's an extra glass cup of wine for Elijah the prophet. So you leave a chair open and a glass of wine for Elijah in case he comes to join you. That's a tradition you do. And then there will be specific wine glasses, like a Kiddush cup, because you're supposed to have at least 4 cups of wine during Passover. What Passover is a hammed holiday. You usually get lit city during Passover. There's also salt water to represent the tears of the slaves. And so those are things that you see all around the table. And then on the chairs, often you'll see pillows. And this is because during Passover, you're supposed to recline at the table, which symbolizes being free. Usually Jews sit upright at the table and are very proper at the table or whatever. Not me, clearly. But during this holiday, as I told you about the 4 questions that are asked at the top about why are we not sitting upright? Why do we recline on this night? It's because we are free, so we can do that. And that is why the Jews recline. So those are all the things that are on the table, but that is not what you really eat. You're not just getting full off of a bone and an egg. Typical Passover food would be matzo ball soup. So the matzo ball, because it's unleavened, you know, it's matzo ball soup is at almost every Seder. So that's very traditional. In a very traditional household, there would be gefilte fish, which we would not have at my household because I am not into gefilte fish, but Papa loves gefilte fish. So we would sometimes have that at Grammy and Papa's place. Always beef brisket. Beef brisket is the staple for Passover. It's delicious. Usually is cooking for hours and hours, if not longer. And our beef brisket in it would have carrots and potatoes, but sometimes it's just potatoes, a lot of potatoes at Passover as well. Chicken, maybe a roasted chicken and potatoes, anything like that would be Passover food. So yes, hopefully that helps with what we're eating. We're not just sitting there eating the haroset or whatever else is on the Seder plate. We're not just like gnawing on the bone. There's delicious food at Passover. Passover's got a lot of fun food. And then the desserts all have to be made with unleavened bread. So there's a lot of creative desserts because cookies are leavened and cake is leavened. So you have to have something Passover specific. So if you're ever invited to go for a Seder, just make sure that what you're bringing is kosher and also is keeping in Passover regulations. Because if you just brought like a cake, they can't eat that cake, or cookies, they can't eat those cookies. And wine, there's specific kosher wine that people who are keeping Passover can drink as well. Potatoes are sick. I agree, Pink Sweets. I love potatoes. Potatoes are bomb.com in all forms. A couple other things about Passover that I want to share with you guys, getting to Rob's question about how the children participate in stuff. But before I do that, let's go into the Streamlabs, streamlabs.com/Roxy Stryer. Poppy Hill says, I only knew it was Passover because Eric Andre was tweeting about it a lot, that he's happy that his movie is number one on Netflix during Passover since he is Jewish. That's awesome. Random question. What's the worst pilot of a TV show you've ever seen? Wow, I have no idea. I really would have to think about that. Worst pilot of a TV show I've ever seen. Oh my God, I have no idea. I'm going to have to get back to you. I can't even think of one that was like, oh, that was trash. I think that the Parks and Rec pilot wasn't great, but only because the show was so amazing by comparative, but it's not like it was a horrible pilot. Let me think, Poppy, help. Morse code Z in the house says, we did a truncated Zoom service last night. My cousin put together a Haggadah with the important prayers, the main story, a section on Miriam, oh, that's great, and songs to sing, such as There's No Seder Like Our Seder, I Got Matzah, Hey Jews, etc. That's so fun. Yeah, every family kind of does it differently, and the Zoom Seders are very popular this year, obviously, because everybody's all over the place. There's a lot of singing during Passover as well. There's a lot of prayers, but depending on your family, how religious they are, what parts are important to them, you'll see all different things and different stuff that are in different Haggadahs. So, yeah, that makes great sense, and I love that you did that. Big Mo Podcast and just stopping by. Love you, Rocks. Love you, Big Mo. Thanks for stopping by. I appreciate you, and thank you for that super chat. So, okay, another thing is the hiding of the Afi Coleman. So, let's see. How do I explain this? Okay. This is a big kid thing to do during the holidays. We did it in reverse, but most families do it the other way around. So a piece from the matzah is broken off during the Seder that's supposed to be eaten at the end of the meal. And it is traditionally hidden during the Seder by the adults. One of the adults will hide the piece of this matzah somewhere in the house. And the kids then have to go search for the piece of matzah and for the Afi Coleman. And if they, whoever finds it usually gets some kind of prize. In my family, whoever found it got money. So when we were whoever found it got money, because what we used to do when we were little is we would have the kids hide it and see if the adults could find it, but that's just not how it's supposed to be done. So you have an adult find it, then the kids go looking for it. And like when we were little, I remember it'd be like $5 if you found it. And then as we got older, it was like $20. And then when I was still really, really young kid. And one year I think I was 6 years old. And my grandfather was still alive. He died the next year. And so my grandfather, though, was a very, very generous man, very wealthy, very generous. And I remember one year when I was six, I found the Afi Coleman and he gave me $100. And my parents were like, what the fuck is she going to do with $100? She's 6 years old. Like, this is absurd. And I think that they, I don't even know what ended up, I think I ended up getting like a, something like for school, pencils and erasers, and the rest I think went to my brother or something. I don't even know what happened, but he gave me $100. I'll never forget that. It was crazy. But that was, it's always really fun, and you try to see who can find it, who can hide it best, you know, who is the hardest person to hide it and all that stuff. So Afi Coleman, it's A-F-I-K-O-M-A-N, Afi Coleman is what it's called. So that's one of the big traditions. And then there's all different stuff that people do with matzah. Like chocolate covered matzah is freaking delicious. There would be people who put chocolate on matzah and then even like a Hershey's Kiss on top of that. So good. So good. Just amazing, amazing matzah desserts that you can have too. Try to think of any of the other – oh, a couple other things. So there's different parts of the Haggadah that are typically read by different kids. And one of those things that's in a lot of Haggadahs is the four children of Passover. So this is how during the longer service, because some of these seders, ours usually would take about 30 minutes, but some of them take like 2 hours before you're eating, and kids, they get antsy. And so you have kids read different parts. There's part of the Haggadah that breaks it up into four children. One of the children is the child who did not know how to ask a question. It's phrased a little different in different Haggadahs, but like it's the child who doesn't even know enough to ask is how it's phrased often. The simple child, the wicked child, and the wise child. And every year, depending on what family you're in, either you're reading the same part or, you know, my mom would like dole out the parts Roxy, do this. Jet, you've got this. And my cousins would all be there. So they would kind of break up who is reading what. And these children ask these questions throughout, and it keeps them involved. Okay, so let's see what this breakdown is. The child who did not know how to ask a question. Developmentally, let's flip the order of the four children and start with a child who's too young to ask a question, a stage otherwise known as infancy or toddlerhood. Perhaps this is their first Passover Seder. She's too new to the experience. She's not yet aware enough to ask what's going on around her. Through her senses of taste, sight, hearing, and smell, she's just learning to make sense of her environment. Let her taste the salt water and smell the delicious smells of matzo ball soup. Let her feel the roughness of the matzah and the soft pillows of reclining to differentiate between the hardness of slavery and luxury of freedom. Use musical instruments to let her shake a maraca to the beat and fill the Seder with song and laughter celebration. So that takes place differently in all different families and Seders. The simple child, which they call like elementary school kid. Next is a simple child in his latency phase of development, the elementary school child who might be learning about the story of Passover in school, curious about, but perhaps a bit overwhelmed by the commotion and unable to participate by asking their own questions yet. To engage them, ask what they already know about the holiday, ask them about the symbols and the Seder plate and what it means, ask to lead the familiar songs that might have learned in class, or to give them a job like setting the table or passing out the prayer books to make him feel like he's participating, even if he's too shy to speak up. The Wicked Child, preteens and teens. My mom often made me read the Wicked Child's part. The Wicked Child, better known as preteen or adolescent, child is questioning everything. It's their job, her job to ask, question why she is forced to participate in these traditions. It's her job to resist against conforming and doing what everyone else is doing. Let her question, support herself searching. Okay, there's more to that, but and the last one, the wise child, young adults, finally the wise child, the young adult who's gone through the storming and norming of adolescence and has come out on the other side, perhaps is home from college, the independence and moxie, ask them about their freedom, ask them about their worldviews. So there's all different kind of parts and people that read different things in the Haggadah. So yes, there is that. Hopefully that helps a little bit understand the tradition of Passover. I've kind of gone through most of the parts of it. If you guys have questions, comments, concerns, your own stories, I would love to hear more. But in general, that is Passover. And right now it is Passover. So reach out to your Jewish friends and make sure you wish them a happy Passover, Pesach Sameah, or just happy Passover, and just let them know you're thinking about them and that you hope they're having a good holiday. Let me see if there's any more questions, comments, concerns in the Streamlabs, streamlabs.com/RoxyStryer. Nope, nothing coming in here. So I think that means we probably will get out of here. I'll give you guys a couple minutes to get in any last minute questions, comments, concerns. Glenn says the visuals that I'm getting are adorable. Totally. Jeremy said so much money. I know, that was a crazy year. John says $100 for a six-year-old is like $100,000 for an adult. I didn't even know what it was. I'm sure I wanted like chocolate or something. I was like, what is this? I didn't even know what it was. Just had no idea. All right, going into the Streamlabs, streamlabs.com/RoxyStryer. Glenn Caesar in the house with that huge support. What's up, Glenn? You're amazing. Says, let's go, Smets, and everyone fighting for today, tomorrow, and more. Smash cancer. Be most excellent. RJ and Rockstars, show up for people who need it. That makes you fucking fire, humane, and worthy. Cheers to fuck yeah news and laughter for us all in 2021 and beyond. Absolutely. As I am getting out of here, just as a more personal note on Passover, I've always loved this holiday because it was one of the only times of the year that my whole family would come together. We'd all sit around a table, and it would be a long holiday in which you had to sit there and think and listen. And at the base of it, it's talking about how people aren't fucking meant to be enslaved. And that is something that anybody with a pulse should believe. None of us were put on this planet to be somebody else's fucking slave. And it's our job to fight to make sure that that doesn't happen in the literal or the metaphorical sense. I don't mean metaphorical in any other way other than not everybody is free. Not everyone is free. And Passover reminds us how blessed and lucky we are when we do have our freedom and how important it is to fight for other people's freedom as well. And so
I love Passover. I love the traditions of Passover. I love meeting with my family during this time. And I'm so sad that I wasn't able to be with my family this year for Passover. But it is really a beautiful holiday, and I love how the traditions grow and change, such as the apple on the Seder plate. So thank you guys for letting me share this with you. Really appreciate that. Star Gonzalez in the house with that big support says, Hag Pesach Sameach, Roxy, love ya. And then she puts the orange, the bunny, and the heart. And I will take every single one of those. You are so great. Thank you guys all for that. It's cool to be able to share your traditions with people, and especially when people don't know that much about the holiday. Remember, I'm just one person. This is just how we celebrate it. And every Jewish family is different, but in general, now you know more about the story of Passover. So for anybody who sent bunnies at the beginning of this, I hope that you feel like you have more of an understanding of what Passover is and what Jews are all about. I appreciate you guys for being here with me. Pesach Sameach to all of you. I will be live in the World Girls tonight at 7 p.m., where we are going to be giving me a whirl. We are doing 21 questions with Roxy Stryer. I have no idea what they are. I'm very nervous for them, so we'll see what happens. But make sure you join us live there. Again, that's 7 p.m. youtube.com/theworldgirls. That's 7 p.m. Pacific. If your internet's out, make sure you blow on it. Hopefully you've already made your bed at this point. Put down that toilet seat and lid. Brett Miles Jonathan, arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor. Don't trend with the Holocaust. It's a big one, especially not during Passover. I mean, never, but especially not during Passover, but also just never. One more Streamlabs coming through right now. Sonia Frema, thanks, Sonia, says, happy Passover, Roxy. That's so sweet. I really appreciate you and everybody in here. Much love to all of my friends, which is all of the rock stars. And I will see you guys live at the Rocks. I'll see you tonight for World Girls, and I'll see you live at the Roxy tomorrow, Monday, March 29th.